It is so good to be here. If I've never met you, my name is Ben Mathis, and I am the old man of Roe, which stands for Rivers of the World. We've been at this for 20 years, and Will and I were just talking. You know, people don't go to prison that long for murder, and I've done this for 20 years. It's 20 to life is what this has been like. It's great fun. I love coming to this church. It's like coming home, and I just am so grateful for your support. Today we have two passages of Scripture we're going to look at. The first kind of establishes our faith. The second passage has some background to it. Jesus has sent out 72 of his disciples. We don't know how long they've been gone, but they were sent out to teach, to preach, to heal, to proclaim the gospel. They've come back again, and we pick up on all of these disciples coming back and meeting Jesus and talking about what's been happening. So before we go to the Word and find out, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we ask that you clear our hearts and minds of the cares of this day. Let us come to your word expecting to be fed for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're not going to put this on the wall this morning because I'm going to jump around in the second passage and it could get confusing. So let me just share with you straight out of the word from Deuteronomy 6 to begin with, a passage that you should all know by heart. Let's listen to the word of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. The word of the Lord. And now over to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The 72 have gone away. Now they're coming back. And imagine the scene. Let's just imagine everybody showing up at the same time. Everybody's talking all at once. Everybody is excited. And here's what happens. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Now this gets familiar. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus and said, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. And this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Smuggling is such an ugly word. It's an ugly word. I prefer technology relocation. Back in August, I've been at it again. Back in August, I relocated some technology into a country that is not Christian friendly. I didn't smuggle it. I relocated some technology. I went there for three reasons. The first was because part of this country had been occupied by enemy forces, and I wanted to remind them about Jesus. The technology, in case you don't know what this is a little box that I can carry in my camera bag. And if you are within 150 feet of me and you use your phone to get on the internet, I can program it to say whatever I want it to say on your phone. In this instance, it said free Wi-Fi. Everybody wants free Wi-Fi. You hit on free Wi-Fi and it says you have a message. Okay, that comes with free Wi-Fi. If you hit you have a message, you can't stop it. It downloads a movie called The Jesus Film into your cell phone. And you have that movie from then on and the opportunity to learn about Jesus Christ, the context, and to hear an invitation to give your life to Christ. Well, my first job was with a group of people. Well, they're Russians. And these Russians have occupied part of this country against the will of the people that live there. And I just thought it would be nice to remind them that God loves them and I do too. And that worked. It was very scary. Then in a separate language, I went around the universities and I put the Jesus film on the cell phones of university students. And that was incredible to watch. They just lit up as the gospel appeared on their phone. The third part was a little more scary. I was to meet with leaders of the underground church. And my goal was to equip them with this technology so that they could use it to share the gospel among Christians in their own country and in their own language. The meeting had been set up by a third party. I didn't set it up. That's the weak link. On the morning I was to meet these folks, I went to the lobby of my hotel and I sat there. The time came and the time went and they didn't show up. Immediately, you start getting nervous. At least I do. And I start thinking, well, I've trusted my well-being to somebody else who may have turned me in. So the first thing you think about is, how do I get out of here? And this hotel sits all by itself in a great big parking lot. There's no way out. More time passes and they're not here. And in my mind, I see the parking lot and it's filling up with little black sedans filled with these fellas in black suits, white shirts, little skinny black ties, a hat and sunglasses. And they all want to come inside and have a little talk with me. And I'm sitting there getting more and more nervous. And then behind me, I hear, Ben? And I stand up and turn around and standing in front of me are three pastors from the underground church that I haven't seen in 8 years. We threw our arms around each other and we stood in the lobby of this hotel just weeping that we were all together. These are people regularly arrested, thrown into jail, and beaten because they believe in Jesus. And here they were. Oh, we went and ate breakfast. I showed them this technology. They got so excited about it. And then I said to them, you know, I'm so glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. I'm just glad you're okay. How are things going? And they said, you know, nowadays, if we're not too visible and we don't get too big, the government just leaves us alone. And I said what I think you probably would have said. I said, oh, praise the Lord. And they said, no. No, it was really better when we were persecuted. We seem to have lost our purpose. Jesus sent the 72 out in our text with a very specific purpose, to teach, to preach, and to heal. And they came back, and you know the stories they must have told had to be fascinating. The blind can see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the gospel's being preached, everybody's talking all at one time. Now get past the idea of 72 people. A lot of these folks have got families. They bring mom and dad and the kids along, the whole family comes. Let's say there are 200 people in this crowd. That's quite a crowd. And everybody's talking at the same time, and Jesus sees them, and he gets so excited. The first thing he does is praise the Lord in heaven. He's so excited about this. And then Jesus looks at them and said, you have seen and heard things nobody else has seen and heard. You are so blessed. And you know, all around this, people are watching. You know, if you're in a parking lot somewhere at Walmart, and there are 200 people in a big crowd out there, and they're all excited about something, you're going to wonder what's happening, aren't you? I mean, maybe the people back then are looking, going, ooh, 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 I wonder if Jerusalem State beat Bethlehem Tech. I wonder what happened. And it's the lawyer. It's the lawyer who speaks up and he goes, you know, what's this all about? They've got something going on. Something's happening here. Hey, what do I have to do to have a life? And Jesus knew he was a lawyer. So he said, all right, what does this say in the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that's it. Do it and you will live. For 20 years, as Will mentioned, Roe has been around. I feel like for 20 years, we have been those disciples who were sent out 25 different countries to teach, to preach, to heal. And now after 20 years, we come back together, 10,000 volunteers. And we come back together and say, all right, Lord, what is it that we have learned in these 20 years? What do you want us to do next? What we've learned that there are certainly individuals, but that there are also entire communities, if you'll pardon the nautical term, there are entire communities adrift in despair. who have no sense of hope, no vision for the future. They're just hanging on by their fingernails to a meager existence. And God has called us now to go deeper, if you would, with what we're calling six anchors. They're based on this passage of Scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Whenever you hear heart in the Bible, I want you to think something very specific. I want you to think present tense, as in right now. Why? Well, because, you know, if your heart stops, you become what's called past tense. Do you understand that? All right, and in the present tense, what are the first things you have to have? It's food and agriculture. It's clean water and sanitation. Our two anchors. Teaching people how to grow a balanced diet without meat, milk, eggs, and chemicals because they just don't exist. Getting clean water for a family gets rid of a third of the disease in a family. Getting sanitation or an outhouse gets rid of another third of the disease in the family. All right, clean water, sanitation, food, agriculture. Two anchors, four parts to it. What's the most difficult? The most difficult is sanitation. We're in church. We can talk about this. How do you get somebody in the jungle to use an outhouse? It is just as hard to get them to do that as it would be to get some of you to quit using your bathroom and go out in the backyard. Here's what we do. Can't call it a celebration. We have a function. And at this function, we gather around. Their appropriate speeches are made. They hang flowers on people. We eat cookies. And then the mayor or the chief, ceremoniously, in this case it would be Will, ceremoniously walks into the outhouse, shuts the door, spends the appropriate amount of time, and when he walks back out again, everybody politely claps, and from then on you're supposed to use the outhouse. Does that make sense? It works. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. If leading people to Jesus Christ isn't the foundation of everything we do, then we might as well just call the dogs and come on home. You've seen our solar-powered Bibles. You know we have solar-powered projectors that are this big that can show the Jesus film against the side of a hut and hundreds of people can hear it. We've also started pastor training schools in India and in China, in Dominican Republic and in Belize and soon in the Congo. In the DR, our first class of 26 male and female pastors, their first year led 600 people to Christ. Their first year. Their churches are growing an average of 18.3%. The curriculum is on an iPad. When they graduate, they're given that iPad with everything on it to help them keep growing in their skills and their education and their ability to share the gospel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul. How do you feel today? Does everybody feel good? Anybody got the flu that's in here? Okay. You know, when you feel good, life is wonderful. Other side, when you feel lousy, yeah. So under the heading of strength, creating basic health and medical care for people has to be one of the anchors. So right now, I wish you would come and help us. 90 miles out of Iquitos, Peru, in a small village on the Arosa River. I'll show it to you today. It's a quarter of a mile straight up. We're building a clinic in the jungle that will serve thousands upon thousands of Yagua Indians who have no health care otherwise. Nothing. But if you can get people to feel good and to feel strong, the next step is they want to do something with that. So we've started sewing schools in the Congo, in Belize, in Honduras. And now we're teaching women how to sew things that they can sell. We just put four rice mills in villages along a river in Nicaragua. In 20 minutes, a family can mill their rice instead of taking 5 days of good weather. 20 minutes. That frees them up. Now they can grow more rice. They have more food, but they've got extra food. They can sell that, and we can develop an economy. Another one of our anchors. Maybe you can do this. Maybe you're the one that's going to make this happen. I need a school bus. On top of that school bus, there are solar panels. The chairs have been all ripped out of the school bus, and in its place there are 10 workstations. Each workstation has an iPad. The solar panels charge the iPad. The teacher drives the thing out into the jungle to a village and spends 2 months, and children are educated in a way they've never been educated using technology that's solar-powered on a bus. If they finish a two-month course, we give them an iPad with all the curriculum on it plus a library, and it changes everything about their education. The final anchor. All right, so what happens if we do this? What happens if spiritually you transform someone's life? Education, economics, medical care, clean water, food. What happens if we do those things? Someone is healthy, they've been lifted out of poverty, their life is transformed, and they will learn to love themselves better. And if they do that, they'll love their neighbors as themselves. Won't they say yes? So you've just had your lecture on Development 101. Congratulations. What does it say to you this morning? The first question is, maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know, Ben, I know something about agriculture. Who do I talk to? I'm an engineer. I'll give you 20 years. I've just retired and I feel like $1 million. Let's go change the world for Christ. You know health care? Could you teach? Is God calling you to say, here's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to respond to this. Or are you like the lawyer? If we got honest, are you like that lawyer who's sitting here wondering, what do I have to do to have a life? You know, if I got honest, Ben, there are times when the biggest decision I make in life is what to have for breakfast and if I'm ever even going to eat lunch. Nobody really needs me. I get up, I go to work, I come home, and I think, is that what this is all about? Are you someone who hears this and you're saying, I can see this crowd of disciples and things are so exciting, but I'm over here. Ben, what is God's purpose for my life? Why am I here? If that's what you're wrestling with, I just want you to remember four very simple words. Heart, soul, strength, mind. Say it with me. Heart, soul, strength, mind. Here's my promise. Not a maybe, a promise. If you will sit down with the Lord and say, Father, here's my heart. This is me in the very present tense. What part of me do I hold back from you? Father, here's my soul. Take all of it. Father, here's my strength. Do I get exercise? Do I eat decent food? Do I move around? Or do I just vegetate? Here's who I am, Lord. How do we change that? And here is my mind. What am I putting into it? Anything? Anything helpful? If you will submit those areas of your life to Jesus Christ, He will reveal to you the purpose for your life, and your life will change dramatically. And you all know that, and very few of you will ever do a thing about it. Why? Because you're just like me. We're scared to sit down and get honest with God, aren't we? We're scared to do that because there are parts of our lives that are just really pretty black. Some of us are haunted by things that happened 50 years ago and it still chews at our hearts. And so when someone says, come on, stand closer to the Lord, we go, you know, he really doesn't, I really can't do that, Ben. I just can't do that. How many grandparents we got? Raise your hand. How many of you know Zoe in your church? Raise your hand. If somebody set Zoe down and she came running at you with her hands like this, are you going to turn to jelly or stone? Which one are you going to be? You're going to turn to jelly, aren't you? And you're going to pick that child up and say, whatever in the world you need, want, here, I'll do whatever it takes to love you. Christian, God loves you that much more. You are that child running to the Heavenly Father. He knows the good and the bad about you already. But He loves you so much that He let His Son die on the cross so that He could open His arms to you and say, come here, come. Tell me about your heart. Tell me about your soul. Give me your strength. Give me your mind. I will bless you with a purpose in your life that will transform everything about who you are. We work in India now. A blind woman has a tiny one-room house. We gave her a solar Bible. She started playing it. Her neighbors heard it. And now almost every night after everybody's done everything else, they come to her house. She's no longer alone. Because they sit there, play their solar Bible, they listen to God's word, they talk about scripture, and they pray. Her life is dramatically changed. We built an eyeglass factory on the Rio Alto in Bolivia. The first patient is a woman who comes in crying. She lost her job as a seamstress because she can't see. Part of her job gave her somewhere to live. She has nowhere to live. She has no job. The last thing she's doing is coming to our clinic, our first patient. They fit her with glasses. She leaves. She can see. She comes back 2 weeks later and she's crying and carrying on again. And my guys are going, all right, what's wrong now? And she was crying out of joy. She had the best job she'd ever had and a brand new place to live. And she just came by to praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. I once was blind, but now I see. And it turned into prayer meeting right there in Bolivia. Anybody from Alabama that'll admit it? First Bessemer Church, First Presbyterian Church, Bessemer, Alabama. I showed up to preach. Pastor Richard meets me at the door and says, Ben, this is odd. I said, what? He goes, somebody called the church and said, is Mathis preaching there? And I said, yeah, he is. And the guy goes, good, I want to see him. And he hung up the phone. Think about that. So the whole time you're preaching, you're kind of looking over the crowd thinking, who got the gun and who do I owe money to? Church is over. I still ain't got a clue what's happening. We play shake and shove at the back door. Got to beat the Baptist. The last guy standing there walks up and goes, you remember me? And I meet a lot of people. And I'm going, oh, sweet Jesus, this is the guy. I'm in trouble now. He goes, we met about 3 years ago. I said, we did. He goes, that's right. I said, where did we meet? It was a social function put on by the church. Oh, good. Did we have a good time? He goes, well, I asked you a question. I said, what did you ask me? He said, I told you my life was miserable. I hated what I do. What would you do about it? I said, you did? He goes, yep. I said, what did I say? He said, well, you said you'd go home and quit the job and do something you like doing. I did. He goes, yep. I said, what'd you do? Next day I went in and I quit my job. I said, oh, you did? He goes, yep. I said, and he goes, well, I like working with computers. And he said, I decided I would start a business fixing, installing, and maintaining computers. I said, how'd it go? He said, the first 2 years were awful. And I went, oh, yeah? And he goes, yeah, but now this year I'm making more money than I've ever had. I'm having more fun than I've ever had. I just want to come by and say thank you and God bless you. He shakes my hand. He walks out the door and never even told me his name. And I'm sitting there going, oh, thank you, Jesus. That was a life transformed. That was a life completely changed. And I can promise you, by yielding who you are to Jesus Christ, God will show you the purpose for your life and it will be changed dramatically. And the next time I see you, oh, the stories you'll have to tell me. God bless you. You stay strong. And God bless America. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful that you are our anchor. That you're our anchor in every aspect of our lives, whether we live in the Congo or whether we live in South Carolina. You call us to give back to you, all of us. All of our present, all of our heart, all of our soul, our strength, and our mind. And that if we but open ourselves to you, you will fill us with a transforming purpose that will change our lives forever. Father, let the adventure begin today. For Jesus' sake, amen.